Oh, I have to practice something? Knowing it
isn't enough. Practice, practice, practice.
Now, since it's supposed to be question and answers, we'll just do a couple of songs just to get going here. And give me a moment to tune the baby here. So. See, modern conveniences, you can tune it. The resonance of the guitar gives the tuning, not the strings, just the resonance. Much better than the ears sometimes.
Anybody have any good darshan dreams? Just silence, huh?
I hope it was inner silence. Temperature changes the guitar, just walking over changed the tuning. Good enough for rock and roll, right?
Devi Baba. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. Resurrection. Resurrection.
Remember, it's Easter Sunday. Resurrection. What did we resurrect? Our Christ consciousness, our Psi consciousness, right? Our God consciousness.
Left the ego on the cross and walked away.
Right? Correct?
Ego, the mind. Left the mind on the cross and walked away.
Let's do a couple of songs. Here's a love song. You know, we said after we did a performance for 45, 50 minutes with Swami, he used to lean over and say, any song?
Any new song?
That means be empty and let one flow. Here is one of those new songs.
But wait, well, we walked up on stage.
No, it's different. Let me explain the story.
All right.
So in the early days, Swami used to let me follow him around with a camera, take pictures all the time. So one day I was following in Darshan around. There was no Seva dolls or anything like that, you know. So
they weren't invented yet.
No, we didn't have those things yet. So... 68 from 68 on.
And for functions when Bangalore would come,
he,
you know, for festivals, the students would just, you know, keep crowd control.
A little bit.
But that was it.
Only on
Nothing
the big festivals.
Else.
Everybody had first
you remember?
Line, you know. So
you were there.
We were all there because
we all had first row, remember?
So
even the monkeys jumping from the trees.
So I was following, taking pictures, and if you see the picture book that Swami asked for the 75th birthday, the center has a copy. Prashanti Nilayam ran out of them long ago, and we never reprinted. Swami didn't say anything. He just wanted the one printing, I guess. But it's being printed in South America now, in Spanish and in English.
But it's mostly the pictures. You see what it was like
then. With Swami just being
and Swami's
like we
so
are here,
cute.
You know, instead of now, it's everything is formal. But then it was, you see him just how he was, you know, in the pictures. Anyway, so I was taking pictures, and he said, in the middle of darshan, he turned around, he says, "Sit down, enjoy darshan now." So I said, "Okay." So we sat down, enjoyed darshan, and as I got up at the end of darshan was over. I got up and I walked across the sand, and suddenly a very loud voice.
Don't say it
here.
Too loud.
Big here said, Keshava! Just like this, and I went, whoa. I had no clue what it meant, okay? But it felt like it was an endearing name of God. I didn't find out later that it meant the
well,
one
meant
that...
many things, yeah.
That is the Trinity, Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva, the one that has the beautiful hair and the one that slew the demon Kesa, right? I didn't find
out.
And
it was Arjuna's endearing name to Krishna.
Krishna, yeah.
My Keshava.
So... As I heard the sound, the song flowed, complete with words and music. And normally I would run to the guitar or to a piece of paper to write it down. I didn't. I just enjoyed the song. And I went. So the next interview with Swami, he called us in. He had breakfast and he said, "Oh, we're going to have a big concert in a couple of days, okay?" I said, "Yes, Swami. Very happy. Thank you." So, day of the concert.
Day of the concert. There's Swami sitting already on stage. And there are the two microphones right beside his chair. We walk up on stage and sit in front of our microphones.
Then now, there are thousands of people
out
there.
Then Swami
right?
stands up. And under his breath, he goes, "Pad Namaskar."
Pad Namaskar.
And I'm. This is how we were sitting, and there was Swami right there, standing. And I'm looking up at him going, he completely emptied the mind. It's like I'm going, "Pad Namaskar," in my head. I know what that means, but what does it mean?
What does it mean? What is it?
It was blank, stupid, empty. And he goes again, "Pad Namaskar," like that.
And we hear
and I'm looking
at him,
up at Swami, and I'm going,
we're smiling stupidly at him.
I know what it means, but what does it mean? Like this. And then he looks down and he goes, "Pad Namaskar." He lifts up his robe and he looks down at his feet, looks at me, and he goes, "Pad Namaskar." And then I look and I went, "Ah!" And we both just jump up like idiots and fly to his feet.
And he went like
he's
this.
He's like this.
Stupid Westerners, here they are, right?
And everybody was laughing, Swami's gesters.
Yes,
but
my court jesters.
Since
here.
our minds were
empty?
Already empty, he leaned over as we were just starting and he goes, "Any new song?"
That's right in the beginning,
beginning
of the concert. Usually it's at the end when we all, you know.
But we were already empty, so he goes, "Any new song?"
So this was the song. The moment he said, "Any new song?" Again, the loud voice here, Keshava. And with the voice, the song came, and here is the song.
Love song
and
to Swami.
It's a bhajan song, so, you know, love song to Swami. Keshava, your glory's beyond compare. Repeat. Keshava, your glory's beyond compare. You're complete and still with all you share. You're complete and still with all you share. Keshava, we share your life of love. Keshava, we share your life of love. And no words could ever say enough. No words could ever say enough. Oh, Keshava, your love light blinds the sun. Keshava, your love light blinds the sun. And forever only
of all life's actions at
your feet. Psyche Shiva, please guide us straight unto bliss inside us. Your special grace makes us complete. Keshava, you're always the most dear. Keshava, you're always the most dear. Your Tramorti, there is no need to fear. Your Tramorti, there is no need to fear. Keshava, your love is here to stay. Keshava, your love is here to stay. Dharma, Satya, Prema are our way. Dharma, Satya, Prema are our way. Keshava, you even taught the sun. Keshava, you even taught the sun. Yes, and forever only your will be done. Yes, Lord, forever only your will be done. Oh, Keshava,
come on, let me hear you.
Oh, Keshava. Sai Keshava, Sai Keshava. Let us merge within your splendor, Sai Baba, we surrender the fruits of all life's actions at your feet. Sai Keshava, please guide us straight unto bliss inside us. Your special grace makes us complete.
Everybody.
Oh, Keshava.
We were asked yesterday to do this, so we will repeat the song of Shiva. Remember when he had all the dignitaries with the turbans and the people from the government?
And they had never heard like English bhajans before.
Rock and roll bhajans.
Or with such, as Swami would say, tala.
Tala.
Such great tala.
Good tala. So we were in the room and he asked the dignitaries.
And they were very stubborn. Rabba. And this is how they talked. Rabba.
Very British.
Very British. Oh, and you can even tell the story about when they asked us, that was very nice. What made you come all the way to India? Afterwards, they asked these questions.
Yeah. Anyway, so here's a song. Swami very playfully walked over and he said, you want to hear bhajans? And they said, yes, Swami. Very happy, you know. So he walks over to us and he looks at us and he says, sing.
Sing fast. Fast.
Thank you. Shiva.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Come on. One more time, everybody.
Shiva.
Ha. Woo. Well, now I know you can hear me, my Sai Shiva. Grant me the boon of complete devotion. Come on, girls, sing it with us.
All I'm gonna do is let you flow through, zoom in on your rhythm and dance right into your heart. Shiva.
Yeah.
All I'm gonna do is let you flow through, zoom in on your rhythm and dance right into your heart. Shiva.
Now Swami's on his chimmy chimes going like this.
Rocking out with us. Well, now I know you can hear me, my Adi Sai Shiva. Grant me the boon of complete detachment.
Detachment.
Woo! Yeah, come on. I know you can hear me, my Adi Sai Shiva. Grant me the boon of complete detachment.
Detachment.
'Cause all I'm gonna do is let you flow through.
Zoom in on your rhythm and dance right into your heart.
Shiva. Everybody, come on.
All I'm gonna do is let you flow through. Zoom in on your rhythm and dance right into your heart. Shiva.
Shiva, 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 Shankara.
Woo, come on, Shiva. Everybody.
Shiva, 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 Shankara. Shasha, Shiva. Shiva, 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 Shankara.
Shambho.
Shiva, 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 Shankara.
Such a sign, my love.
Shiva, 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 Shankara. Shiva, 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 Shankara.
A little bit easy now.
Shiva, 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 Shankara. Shiva, 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 Shankara. Sha, 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 Shiva. Shiva, 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 Shankara.
Nataraj dance, come on.
Shiva, 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 Shankara.
Woo, yeah.
Shankara.
One more time, everybody.
Shiva, 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 Shankara.
Woo, yeah. Well, now I know you can hear me, my Adi Sai Shiva. Grant me the boon of complete liberation.
Liberation.
Everybody. Well, now I know you can hear me, my Adi Sai Shiva. Grant me the boon of complete liberation.
Liberation.
Because
all I'm gonna do is let you flow through, zoom in on your rhythm and dance right into your heart. Shiva.
Everybody,
all I'm gonna do is let you flow through, zoom in on your rhythm and dance right into your heart. Shiva.
Again.
Shiva, 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 Shankara.
Woo! Come on, sing it.
Shiva, 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 Shankara.
Sha, 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 Shiva.
Shiva, 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 Shankara.
Shakti Shiva.
Woo!
Yeah.
Shiva, 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 Shankara.
Natara.
Shiva, 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 Shankara.
Woo!
Shambho.
Shiva, 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 Shankara. Shiva, 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 Shankara. Shiva. Okay.
Shiva, 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 Shankara.
And again, the look on everybody's face was like, they didn't know what to make of it. So Swami gets up and walks over and he goes, beautiful, don't what? You know, like?
You don't like?
And they're like, And he goes, they know Indian bhajan. You want to hear Indian bhajan? And we're like, they're like,
yes, please.
So he turns, walks back over to us, and he goes, sing Indian bhajan.
We go, okay, Swami.
Yes, Swami.
Hara Shiva Shankara Shashanka Shekara Hara Bum Hara Bum 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 Bolo.
Hara Shiva Shankara Shekara Hara Bum Hara Bum 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 Bolo.
Baba Bayankara Girida Shankara Dime 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 Takana Tana Kelo.
Hara Shiva Shankara Shashanka Shekara Hara Bam Hara Bam 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 Bolo.
Bam Bam Bolo.
Their look after that was, okay.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
And Swami was rocking out on his Tim Tam.
I think what blew their minds more than anything, Swami was literally on his chair with his Tim Tams like this. Keeping total rhythm with what we were doing. It was like, yeah. They were looking at us and looking at him going.
And then he got up and he said, you know, any song some would love from the heart in any language,
any
religion, God loves. Just like that. And he says, good tala, yes? Anyway, let's get back to our conversation just a little bit. We had some questions, so we shall have Swami answer them through these forms. If the answer isn't satisfactory, we'll all investigate together and find out if we find something else.
Again, don't listen to anybody except your inner Swami.
It's the only reality. Like Swami said, everything that has name and form is illusion. Remember, we talked about it yesterday, and only the self is real. Nothing else is. Even Swami is not enough for us. We must find the self within, which is the pure awareness that we are, the consciousness that is eternal, the Paramatma self, the divine consciousness, the Atma, whatever you want to call it. It's all the same thing. But what it is I, the eternal divine ego. I am. And Swami taught, like we said yesterday, taught that to us. We shared it with you yesterday. You now have to practice something, whatever it is. Here are a couple of more little practices that Swami showed us. He showed us a lot of the things that some of the gurus teach their chelas, their students. You know, some do it with breathing exercises. We showed you the one that Ramana Maharshi that he taught us, you know, that Swami showed us the
Who
thumb.
Who didn't hear the thumb one?
Oh, okay.
All right, we'll go through it again. We could practice, because the ones that did yesterday, let's see how much more we are.
The students in the early days that were graduating one time, this was in 68 or 69, one of those days, They had been pestering Swami, Swami, we want to know what meditation is, we want to know how to meditate, and we want to know what realization is. He says, please, teach it to us. And he ignored them completely, totally, absolutely, right? And for a year, they bugged him for the last year of their student, their studies. So it was graduation, and we were in the room, and they were there, and they were again, one of them got enough courage to say, Swami, this is our last chance, okay? And Swami says, okay, just like that. So they said, Swami said, the final end of all meditation is to get to that quiet inner space, which is called the pure mind.
No thought.
No empty. Thought, empty. No feeling, no thought, no name, no form. As long as you have name and form, like he says, people meditate and they meditate on Krishna or Vishnu or
a mantra or something. A mantra basically is to keep the mind focused on one thing.
He said, all those things are only concentrations. That is not meditation. He said, true meditation is the moment that you have a feeling of love in your heart, the moment that you see beauty everywhere and see God in all things. That is meditation. That
Be
is
the feeling one with a beautiful sunset, meditation. When you perceive God all around you, meditation.
When I look into those eyes and see myself as the consciousness
meditation.
Within, meditation. When I focus on the God in this creation, always, that is meditation. If I think of a picture or a form, he said, that's very nice. It's a good practice, and we all walk through it.
To discipline the mind.
Right, but it is still concentration. He said, when you sit in meditation for hours, and finally Shiva comes and says, what do you want? I'll give you a boon. He said, this is all imagination. Because name and form are illusion. No matter what level, what loka, doesn't matter, Vaikuntha, Brahma, Vishnu, Shiva, all illusion.
He said, even this body, illusion.
He said, these bodies, my body, illusion. The only reality, I am the I that is always. The consciousness, the pure mind, he said. And this is what he taught us right off the bat. He didn't let us worship him, okay? He said, worship duality.
Life.
He said, it's a small duality, it's a small separation, but not true.
But
he
says, we all have to walk through it, but get past it.
We are one, always. He says, these are my bodies now. And this, he went to himself, this is your body. We are one, always. Okay? This is what we're sharing with you. You're experiencing this now. Your bodies, these are all Swami's bodies, and that body is your body. Don't make the separation anymore. Don't allow the separation. I don't care if it's Christ, Mother Mary, Buddha, Rama, Krishna, you know.
And you all have the same power to uplift consciousness wherever you go.
And we shared that with you yesterday. But we had a question.
Well,
how do we...
the mind. Let's go to the thumb and finish it.
You
haven't
do...
seen it.
Oh, okay.
Let's do this.
Fine. So let's finish the thing. So Swami said, okay, I will show you the end result of what everyone needs to practice after they meditate. In the normal way that we know. He says, and he used Ramana Maharshi's method at that particular moment. He says, Ramana Maharshi is using a star, or he used a star in the sky. Paramahansa used a form of the Divine Mother in his inner self. And he went through different gurus and masters that use different things. So
and he said in the room, we'll use our thumbs since we carry it around.
Carry it with us.
This
is easy. You can use a flower, a picture, or anything else. So yesterday, as we explained, all we want you to do is look at the thumb.
Perceive it.
Not think Om, Om, Sai Ram, nothing.
You
no.
can't think thumb, 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 thumb. No, or Om even.
Nothing.
Quiet. Just perceive the thumb in emptiness. And every time the mind wants to creep in with a thought, remember, the mind is now
our
your
tool.
And when it creeps in with a thought, even thumb or ladies, I need a manicure, say toolbox. I choose silence.
Okay, don't do it yet. Just wait on.
You're doing it. Stop it.
We're going to do it for 12 seconds to see if you can hold an empty mind. Okay. And what will happen to you? I will tell you now. You will be aware of sounds around you. You'll be aware of your body. You'll be aware of everything, but don't pay attention to it. Just be fully aware.
Empty.
Empty of just looking at the thumb. Now, I don't want you to perceive the thumb because then you have to think thumb, okay? Just see it, and what will happen, your eyes will kind of cross,
split.
And you will no longer see the thumb, really. It'll become like a nebulous nothing. You will be aware of space.
You'll
rather
even
want to
sort of hold your breath, go into like a suspended animation,
for
because everything
seconds.
Will want to stop.
You want to stop this creation is what you're doing, okay? He says, if you can do this for 12 seconds and practice it throughout your day for 12 seconds when you have free seconds, don't do it driving, don't do it while you're studying or anything else, but do it when you have 12 seconds free. Do it throughout your day. In 4 weeks, he said, you will have exquisite focus and you will be able to keep your mind empty
Silent.
For 2 minutes and 24 seconds, which is 12 times 12. And he said, if you continue this times 12, which would be 24 minutes and 28 seconds, if my 48 seconds, whatever, math is not so good. At that moment, you will go into Nirvikalpa Samadhi. And he said, if you stay in Nirvikalpa Samadhi too long, you will lose your body.
It will just disintegrate.
Disintegrate.
Spread
he
apart.
Said, so the only thing you ever need to do, and he looked at the students, he says, you keep telling me that you've been meditating for hours. He says,
avoiding
no.
your studies.
Avoiding your studies, and they've been suffering. No, 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 no.
Only 12 seconds, a day.
Or 2 minutes and 24 seconds is all you ever need to do. So don't ever tell me again you're meditating. Okay? So here it is.
And every time a thought creeps in, say, toolbox.
You will now make the separation between the mind and your divine awareness, okay? So I will count for the 12 seconds, okay? So you don't have to think, okay, 21, 22, 23, you know? So I will do the counting. You just do the silencing of the mind, okay? Here we go. 1, 2, 3. Okay, 12 seconds. How many times did you have to tell the mind to get in the toolbox? Were you able to just keep
That's not bad.
Empty? Very good.
And you notice you want to sort of like go into suspended, just not breathe, just freeze.
When you deal with the general public is what Swami taught us. When you deal with people who don't really want to know about God, they don't want to know about spirituality, they don't want to know about any other stuff, you know. Say, you know, my life is too full, I'm too bogged down with money and wife and children and blah, 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 right? He said, here is something that you can show them, which was another technique that some of the yogis use. He said, I will show you the short version of it. They do a lot of breath controls. He said, this kind of breath control that you're doing now is very simple. Anybody can do it. You can do it at work. You can do it in your car. You can do it anywhere in the world. And you don't need to think about God or need to think about anything except doing this. It'll take you into that same exact empty mind space, which is the self, right, in the final analysis. So here it is. He said, what you want to do is you want to breathe in very deeply, like, and as you breathe in, you say I or so, and as you breathe out, let all the air out, say hum or am. I am or so hum. Either one is the same thing, okay? And he said, you do this 3 times very deeply. I, in your mind, you say I, and in your mind, you say am, and you breathe out.
Or so?
So hum, oh. Either one. And on the 3rd time, you let all the breath out, and you no longer use the mind for anything. You're silent. You don't say so hum anymore. You just let all the breath out, and along with the breath, you let go of every concept, every idea, every feeling, everything. It's just like becoming a rag doll, like. You will find that you can stop breathing for a moment, and you will find that you will be in that absolute inner silent awareness state, the empty mind state. And then your natural breathing rhythm will come back. Just allow it to come and then just watch the breathing come in and out. And don't change anything. Just watch the breath coming by itself and going in and out. And hold that for as long as you like. Maybe just a minute or 2 is enough. And this will always center you and put you back into your own rhythm of life, because the world has taken our rhythm away from us by being hectic, fast, furious, selfish. And he said, this will reclaim your own personal life rhythm. And this is for the general public when you talk to them and you give them something that they can practice. Because everyone needs to practice something. And he said, this will take them to the same space. So shall we play and try it a second? Let's all do it together, okay? You go. I will count them. Here we go. One. Two. Three. Take it in and all the way out. Okay, that's enough. Did you get to that space? That inner quiet, perfect space? That perfect inner balance, equilibrium, with no thought, no feeling? There was full awareness that you existed. You were the space, you were there, the space was it, you were it, it was all there. You were fully conscious. That is where you want to go to. Because that's where there's no name and no form. There's only the present I, consciousness, I am, I exist. That is the reality of us, always and forever. It is untouchable. It is not connected to anything with name and form. It is always present, forever, everywhere, always, now. And all beings in the world, no matter where, what their worldly situation is, they can do this and go back to their natural state of being. Okay? That was another question we had. Is there some other method? And we showed you again yesterday. We said you can go to Ramana Maharshi's method or some other yogis that go to the I am inside, that repeat just I am, or I, or ask the mind, who am I? Who is this I? Who is this I am? Where do I come from? What is my origin? All those things to silence the mind. Okay? We had another question. How do we deal with anger? How do we deal with family? How do we deal with situations in our life that we are constantly confronted with? And Swami was very cute, because in those days we sat with him on the floor, he held our hands, and we could ask him any question. We ask him about birth control. We ask him about abortions. We ask him about all the things that you could possibly think of, because then he could answer to us, because we wanted to know. And when it comes to relationships, we ask him specifically about divorce, because it's so rampant in the world today. You know, we are so selfish, we only want what we want, and if we don't get from our partner what we want, we say, screw you, go away with you, you know, go away, you know, and we divorce. So we ask, Swami, what about divorce? And he says, not good. And we said, why? Why, Swami? And he said, well, all relationships in the world, and we said this yesterday to you, we'll repeat, all the relationships in this world are 99.9% karmic. That means you come together again with mother, brother, lover, husband, foe,
even
enemy.
Extended family.
Extended family, all the ones. That's why he said in some situations in the family you hate each other. Why? Because you were probably bitter enemies in the past, and now you have to work it out, okay? Or you were the child one time, and now you're the father. You know,
again, this is a classroom.
Mother.
We come together in groups to work things out, because if we don't work it out in love, we keep repeating.
This is a school.
We keep repeating. Everything has to end in love. And when we would share this before, we'd see some of the ladies or the men going, oh, God, I divorced and I was bitter and, God, I'm going to make another one of her, you know, or him.
Swami said there's only three things we can do in this life, okay? And the result is, if we don't learn our lesson,
you have to repeat it
again and again and again, and again, and again. Lifetime after lifetime after lifetime with the same personality.
Your true basic nature
is love. And if you don't end every relationship in love, no matter what it is,
you repeat it.
If you have hate and anger towards your spouse, they'll come back as your daughter or your son or brother and sister. No matter what it is, it must be resolved in love.
So he said, but I said, no, that doesn't answer our question, Swami. And Kalasu said, no, what if everybody is totally friggin' miserable? You know, just like this, together. He said, well, it's better to be happy apart.
If the household is miserable, then it's better to be happy apart.
Than miserable together.
Because it disturbs the children, it disturbs the whole atmosphere in the home.
But, he said, my suggestion to all householders is to try to work it out so you don't have to repeat it. So that means one of the parties have to end it in love. It doesn't take two. It only takes one.
Basically, if you do choose to part and separate and go your separate ways, it's like the two twigs down the river.
Sometimes get hung up on the roads.
Separate. If you do separate, do it in love. Be best friends. End it in love. But sometimes the other partner doesn't want to be loving, is angry. If you resolve it in love and say, listen, and even say, it's my fault, you were loving.
Let's do a short skit, very short skit
okay.
here. We'll
okay.
do it. We'll do
I
it
saw
quick.
You looking at that woman over there. That
well,
one right there.
No.
I saw you. I'm tired of
no,
it.
No, I'm not.
You have been having affairs right and left. I am sick of it. I'm going my way. I'm taking the children. I'm
How dare you accuse me? You have no proof.
You're not going to have the children. You're not going to have anything. I'm going to take every cent.
Well, you will not, because I already attached a bank account. You can't use a credit card.
No,
look at this.
I already drained the bank account.
But you didn't know about the one I had on the side that has all the money in it.
Well, now
so
I
there.
Know, and I'll tell my lawyer.
Too bad. It's gone. Screw you.
Okay. Do you think we can really end like this? And you don't think that we'll come back some other lifetime and have to repeat something over and over again? We have karma together, definitely.
Remember, all relationships, 99.9% karma. Huh?
Now, if this would end like this, most likely next lifetime we'd either come back again as husband and wife, brother or sister, or son and daughter, or you never know.
Here is the other way. Kalasu will be the good one, I'll be the bad one. I like being bad.
I'm used to being the bad one.
You be the bad one. You be the bad one. Okay.
No, I like. I saw you looking at that woman. Aren't I enough for you?
Sweetheart, don't bug me. I got business on the mind. You're bugging me with stupid stuff. Don't even go there.
Okay.
Leave me alone.
I'm not happy in this relationship.
What do you mean you're not happy? I'm giving you the car, I'm giving you the house with the pool, you have everything, the kids are happy. I'm paying all, my whole life is spent at work to give you stuff. Don't give me that crap.
I found out about this man in India.
What?
I want to go.
You got a lover in India?
No. I want to go to India and just find myself.
What the hell are you talking about?
It has nothing to do with you. It's just me. It's me. It's my problem. You've been a wonderful father, wonderful
husband.
Do
I have to call Joe our psychiatrist?
No, maybe, but I don't know. I have to figure this out for me. But I'm no longer really wanting the world that you've created. And it's my fault, not yours. You've been wonderful.
I don't get it.
You just hired a very sexy secretary.
Well, no, she's just a secretary. I mean, come on.
She's awfully attracted to you.
Well, yes, but nothing.
Just know that I feel like I have to go my separate way. The kids...
But what about the kids?
The kids are old enough, they're already teenagers, they're having their own lives and their own experiences. I really feel like I need to have my experience right now.
But you know, I like sex. What about sex? What am I going to do? You want me to play with myself?
No, the secretary.
You don't mind?
No. If you want, that's fine.
But I love you.
I love you too. That's why I told you, you like the secretary.
Well, yeah, I'm not geared to be alone.
Do you want to come to India with me?
Oh, get a life.
See,
I will help you, whatever you want to do. Do you need any money? Here's a credit card. It has $10,000 on it. Use it. If you need more, call me.
Thank you. I hope we can just stay best friends, and if you need any advice...
What shall I tell the kids?
No, in fact, Lucy wants to come with me.
Oh, God, another crazy one. Okay.
All right.
Whatever I can do to help you, and you really don't mind because...
No, no. And if I come back and you still like me the way I am, maybe we'll be together, maybe not.
That'll be awkward.
Okay, then should we just take care of it now before I leave?
Whatever you want. Yeah, sure.
And this is a relationship that has been falling apart and being separate for many years, you may say. Okay? There's no reason to hate because you choose a different life. Or maybe the twigs are taking different roads.
When our karma may be finished with one another, then our road will probably split and go in different directions, and we may have many other karmic interactions with different parts.
And ladies, when you're dealing with a man, realize if he's just of the earth, he's solid ego, male ego. So it's always your fault.
No matter what, you'll be at fault.
It doesn't have to be your fault. But you have no reason to prove anything. But what you want to do is end something in as much love as possible and caring. You started out as friends, end as friends.
So if I would be ruthless and say, no, you're not going to get a penny, you're penniless, go on the street, you know, and I'm taking the kids, I'm taking the car, I'm taking the money, I'm taking everything, the house, get lost, then her only option is to say, yes, okay, Swami, thank you. Yes,
fine.
I wish that everything works out for
you. If I understand karma like I understand karma and this creation, I know I'll be taken care of. And that's the faith, too.
Does it make sense? If we do not end in love...
We don't want anything. We don't need anything. If you must be whole within yourself to do something like this. Now, your partner may not be whole yet. So you have to be the strong one. You have to be the God, no matter who it is.
And you don't have to have your partner end it in love. It's enough if you
do. Now, he won't forgive me for going off to India and pursuing my love, my choice in life. And all I can do is call him and say, I love you. Just know that if you need anything, I'm here for you.
Now, this goes with departed ones already that have already...
Now, if he's still angry and resentful and hates me for pursuing my love, my life, he will literally have to manifest another one of me, but it won't be this consciousness in his next birth to work it out. I'm done. I'm clear.
Swami said there's only three things.
But you have to be honest with the clarity.
Right.
If I have any little... anger or twitch, he could have at least given me the credit card or something. If I have the slightest little dot in that white sheet, it will make karma with him.
And the only way that I can not be affected in any way, if I understand the truth, the oneness of
and
all.
And he puts love before
in the
anything.
First place. It's the only way.
Or it must be repeated until it ends in love.
Now we come to parents and to children. This is going to be very difficult for some of our egos in here, okay?
Because the ones that want to control and manipulate every step of our children's lives.
This is what Swami taught us because we asked him specifically, because he asked us personally to have children and be householders, and we said, why? Okay? And he explained. But this is the
and
truth.
And we're only sharing with you our experiences. Everyone has to follow.
You listen to your inner Swami and see if it rings true and if you can deal with it on that level. All right. We ask him, Swami, when is our job as parent done? And he said, it depends on the country and the culture. And he said, and it depends on the society you live in now or in yester, yuga, or whatever. It's all different. But in this society of the moment that we all existing in, and I'm going to generalize now. He was more specific, but I'm going to generalize just to make it easy. Okay, he said, females, you as the parent are done when they reach anywhere between 16 and 21, depending on the level of consciousness of the child. A man child, usually between 18 and 21. By the time they reach 21, just to make it short, it is done.
Your parenting role is finished.
And he says, it does not mean your love. It only means your control, your advice, your projection for them, your whatever it
ego
is.
Manipulation.
Ego manipulation on them or whatever it is, okay? Up to that point, it's karmically sort of acceptable.
After that, you're interfering because they have already chosen their path, their experiences. Their play was already written after that.
Swami said, before they came into this form through your bodies, they decided what their learning lessons will be in life. And you may not like their lessons. You may be totally opposed to the
interfere.
Lessons that they came to learn. They may have been a sage two lifetimes ago and they had some vasanas left over that they wanted to finish. They're coming back as your child and they're going to go into things that you think are absolutely horrendously terrible. He says, don't do it.
Don't interfere.
Don't interfere. You can share with them that you understand the road that they're going to walk on and tell them your experience of that road and say, if you walk this way, this, 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 and this may happen to you. So don't come back and tell me you didn't know. Don't come back and cry and bitch about it, okay? Just, if you need to do what you need to do, go do it. I love you. If you fall on your face, I'll help you. I'll pick you up. That's
if we saw our children going on a pathway that looked like it would be harmful for them, we advised them. We just said, listen, if you keep on this path, this, 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 and may happen to you, be aware of it. Because we never wanted the kids to come back to us and say, I didn't know.
You didn't tell me.
We just say, here's the piece of paper. We wrote it down. Look.
Okay.
But they needed to have their experiences.
So, have you known mothers or parents that the moment that the children leave the house, every day they're on the telephone asking them what they're doing, what they're not doing, what they should be doing, and how wrong they're doing what they're doing.
It has destroyed, we've seen that it has destroyed more marriages, the in-laws interfering
with
and trying
everything.
To control everyone's life.
Now we understand the Indian culture, believe me, we do. And we understand that traditionally the Indian culture is in a different perspective.
But
that was another yuga ago. It's not this yuga.
The Indian culture also understands karma.
Right.
And if they interfere or cause unhappiness and distress, they're making karma.
Swami said to us this. He says, you as parents, if you interfere after the age of 21 in any way, shape, or form in the progress of your children's development in whatever direction that they
need
to develop, their adventure, then you will have to share their karma. You will have to share their karma. That means you are not absolved. Think about it. He said,
I could hear some of the mothers going, it's okay, I'll take on their karma.
Go for it.
You're still trespassing. You might be preventing them from learning incredible lessons quickly.
Fast.
Our son was going off on a path that he was married.
We knew it was absolutely.
He married twice that we knew we had informed him these marriages are not good.
Incorrect.
They're not proper matches for
We
you.
Wrote him a letter, wrote down everything that
this
would transpire.
This will transpire. But we also understood he wouldn't be with them unless there was karma. But we also said to him, why are you doing this? Why do you want to? Because he called to ask us, for our blessing. Will you bless the marriage and come to the wedding? And
we said,
like,
no, we cannot.
My answer to him was on the phone. He was, it would be like pushing you off of a cliff.
We said, we will bless the God
that.
In both of you.
Yeah, I stopped it and I said, listen, yes, if this is what you want to do, just be aware, it's dangerous. But yes, we bless the God and both of you will be there. That night, I had a dream. There was Swami. It was such a perfect dream. There was Swami with Cody, Sai Cody, at an edge of a cliff, and he was strapping on, like the Divine Mother Swami is, he was strapping on a parachute, buckling it like that. Then looking at me and tying the knots on this parachute, looked over at me and then pushed Cody off of the cliff. Just pushed him like that.
And then walked over to me and he goes, "Don't worry, Mother, he'll have a soft landing."
So
at that moment, it was like, what am I even concerned about? You know, why would I even have the slightest thought?
So then
of
when
anything?
Cody was with Swami, Swami says, "Yeah, three times." He says, two ones are karma, third one will be a charm, a good one. Third one will be good.
Well, he just got married for the third time in October. And when we first met her, we just knew.
This is right on.
They were such a beautiful blend, beautiful match.
Okay. So don't think that you know something. This is Swami's big lesson to us.
And watching Sai Cody through his life's lessons, I saw if I was a meddling mother or he was a meddling father, and if we interfered, the lessons that Cody learned through his adventures were incredible. At the age of 30, he got so many life lessons that maybe saved him hundreds of lifetimes.
He really did.
We always taught the kids, you came down here to learn lessons. There's nothing easy here. You learn them the hard way, the harder way,
or the hardest way. But you will learn them.
The hardest way, you usually learn it hard and fast. And it's sometimes
painful.
Very painful.
To the body, to the mind, to the ego, to the personality.
Because we only learn lessons this way.
All right. So Swami said there's only three things we can do, and we can only do them now in the moment, because this is the only time we can interact with creation. This is eternity. This now is the only moment. There is no time. It is only now, always. He said, ask an eagle in the sky what time it is, and he'll look at you funny and say, it's now. What are you talking about?
It's now, and I'm hungry.
Yeah. Okay? So you can only accept what is just because it is. Without any reservation, without any anger, frustration, worry, or fear, or anything about it. You can just accept it because it is. Right here, right now. Accept it. Let it be. Or you can try to change it, which we've all tried to do. Now, if it changes, wonderful. But most of the time, it will not change. Not the way we like it, right? So then you have to accept that. Because if you do not accept it, then you'll beat your head against the wall. All right? The third one is you can walk away from the situation. But if you walk away with anger, resentment, fear, worry, or any of those things, right around the corner of your life, you will reproduce that same exact situation, and you will be faced again with it again and again. If you walk away with saying, oh, this really has nothing to do with this energy anymore, it's fine, I wish you love and light into the energy, but
done.
Sayonara, goodbye.
Karma finished.
Finished, no problem. So you just send love and light into the situation and you leave, that's perfect, no problem, no repetition. But those are the only three things we can do. We can only act in this moment. We cannot act in yesterday, it's gone. History. Tomorrow, mystery, we don't know, it doesn't exist. This moment is our only relative reality that we can interact with this creation. So this moment is forever completely open place, if we allow it. If we have a closed mind, then we have a closed moment. If we're fully here in the moment, invested with all of our awareness right now, then we can know everything that's happening in this moment.
And this moment is eternity. If anyone here has any bad feelings or any anger towards any family member or any conflicts, there's right now. You can pick up the
phone. You can resolve it.
Resolve it. Because if you drop your body, you don't wake up in the morning and your body's gone, you're going to be going, oh, I could have done this, and I should have done that. All I had to do was call Aunt Mary and just tell her how much I loved her and that whatever she did or I did to please
Here's an example. If somebody passed away already, all right? Let's say a father passed away and he molested his child, right? The daughter, right? Let's say that's the karma that they had. Now,
and he died, and you were so angry, and good riddance, and this was the energy.
Yeah.
Karmically, you will have to repeat this relationship until it resolves in love.
So if you understand karma and you realize that nothing was done to you that you didn't do before, and this was your reactionary thing that
you
got back.
And you're not a victim.
You're not a victim. There are no accidents. So therefore, what happened to you was perfect justice in the sense of the karmic justice, all right? At that moment, you can release it by accepting it as, oh, it was a learning experience. Wow, it was really sordid. It was
there's
hard.
There's no more pain in your stomach or in your system of or
being
anger.
The victim.
So what you can do when there's when you've resolved it completely within yourself with your reason and intellect and your knowledge.
So that night you say, okay, you take a picture of your father, or if you threw them all away and you just have a feeling of your father, you think about it and says, Dad, I'm contacting you just to tell you, I want to thank you for helping me relieve my karma. Swami taught me that this was my karma that was coming, and I just want to say thank you. You didn't have to do it, but you did, so therefore I just wish you love and well so you don't have too much trouble with this in the past or in the next, you know, lifetime.
What
that
John
will come
was saying,
to
you. You can resolve even anger issues after somebody has already passed.
I accept what happened as karma, and we both learn from it, but I wish you love so that you don't have too much trouble learning your lesson.
Now, when the karma happens, well, I look at it as, ouch, oh, Swami.
Oh,
it hurts so good. Thank you.
Glad that's done.
Have fun with your karma. Know that whatever happens, it was perfect.